Welcome to Campus 8's Expert Outlook podcast. In this brand new series, we are going to explore the consumer behaviours set to disrupt and define 2022, learning directly from our network of industry experts and cultural insiders. I'm Lucy, and I look after all things membership at Campus 8, and this episode is hosted by our content strategy director, the amazing Cara Melchers. So, grab your headphones, get comfortable, and let's get going.
Hey everyone, I'm Cara. I'm the Content Strategy Director here at Canvas 8, and I've been leading the research on Expert Outlook. With us today, we have John Wolfe. Thank you so much for being here. And I wonder if you could start by introducing yourself to everybody listening.
Thanks for having me back. My name is John Wolfe. I am a longtime video game developer.
But you're here with us today specifically to talk about the system skeptic mindset. So, the system skeptic, suspicious of existing systems, people are opting out and building their own. So, across the world, information and influence is being decentralized. The system skeptic is leading this charge by opting out of existing structures and finding new and progressive ways to live. So, the system skeptic is well read and switched onto the news. They're articulate and they're able to spin facts together in a way that makes their arguments around everything from climate to vaccines to Bitcoin, the most compelling. And in doing so, they're striving to change the rules we live by. So, John, The system skeptic is an important mindset for innovation, as they're open to trying new technology outside of the status quo. I mean, in fact, they're actively rebelling against it. You spoke a lot about blockchain. The technology is set to revolutionise all sorts of industries, but what do you think are the key uses of this tech that brands should be paying attention to?
I feel like the key uses are still actually yet to be defined. I think if we're talking about brands, we're talking about commerce. So therefore, you know, the most basic application of blockchain has been to create things that are called NFTs, which are non-fungible tokens. But the base utilization of that has still only been to where you end up having a ticket, and the ticket gives you access to a concert or something, and the representation of that is just this, you know, digital asset that you have. It's commemorative asset that's in your wallet somewhere, but we're going to be able to extend upon that so much when you actually get to break down what blockchain is able to do. One of the cool things that I like about the ability that blockchain can do is to have digitization of not only digital assets, but also tokens, and you can utilize those in digital worlds. And one of the easiest ways you can see that happening is in the application of video games, because video games themselves are virtual worlds. So combining the way that you can have decentralized systems and decentralized finance and games to have really their own game economy, their own living and breathing application of what we utilize in our day-to-day life in terms of economic systems and finance is something really cool. I mean, so you have virtual worlds with their own ways of being ran. So that's one really far end of how blockchain can help. The applications of blockchain are just now starting to be seen in terms of how they can help the world, how they can help and solve issues. But again, for brands, the most basic understanding right now is still this NFT layer.
That's great. Do you think there's an opportunity for brands to help bring blockchain technology into more of like a mainstream consciousness? So kind of leveraging the system skeptic mindset to try new things. Obviously, we've seen a few brands already experimenting with NFTs, but what would you say are like the do's and don'ts around this?
Oh, man. I would say the don'ts are don't do it just to do it because everyone's doing it. You know, I think that's a huge don't, right? Everyone's a bandwagon for it. But I think what's so fun right now is to make hybrid models of those things, maybe slowly become more and more decentralized and utilizing things like blockchain, but definitely begin to embed it to see how it can liven up your product.
Yeah, great. Well, actually, you were kind of just speaking about it just a little bit before, but you've spoken about how NFTs and experience media will cross over more heavily next year. Can you talk a little bit about what barriers companies might need to overcome in order to get people to adopt this new technology?
Well, again, the onboarding issue, you know, there's a lot of technical hurdles right now still. The technology has come a long way, But still, when you have an NFT experience or experience with the blockchain, it still is kind of clunky. You still have to have a wallet, and wallets are, a dime a dozen. There's all a bunch of wallets out there. Who do you trust for to be managing your wallet? Then, there's various blockchains that are out there, all with their own pitch that they're the best ones. Ethereum's a great one and has been the standard for doing everything that we're really talking about. But now gas fees are high because everyone's on it doing everything. So there's still those hurdles to go.
Yeah, that's really interesting actually, and kind of it shows the how this like mindset sits into, I guess, like a bigger picture of technological development, I guess, and how you might be like comfortable in the status quo, like how you are, and people will, if you live in a community or like a society where it's actually very much like built for you, then you're less likely to be pushing against those barriers. But then the people who are
For
pushing
sure,
against
sure.
those barriers, like the effect of that, or like consequences of that, could be way more wider reaching, as you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's adoption, right? And how can we further push the adoption? And that adoption comes from those who are at first the skeptics, but later on you need, again, the general masses to take it further, so you can see more beautiful innovations. Otherwise we're just the 5% of people who have adopted crypto in the world, because this individual said, the Binance individual said it, but we have 5%, and 95% still have yet to do anything of it. If we don't have more than 5%, then we're just, in this vacuum of thinking of these ideas that we think are cool, as opposed to being like, well, okay, like I'm not skeptical anymore, but I really think that maybe it should be applied here, and like actually maybe that's more of what we should be listening to and really following.
That's so true. It's so easy to kind of get, well, to be kind of in our own little bubble of like what's interesting and like what people are adapting to.
Everyone thinks that, again, NFTs are 2D objects, and they think that all it is just this personality PFP projects that define your identity and get you access into like VIP clubs. I'm like, ah, it's like it's so much more than that, but because that's what's hot and what gets, headlines because it sells for millions of dollars, it's what everyone expects. And it becomes really actually negative. And that's because, again, we're not thinking about the applications, we're not going outside of ourselves. And it makes it difficult.
Nice. And just one final question, kind of moving away from the NFT space, but just thinking more around the lines of trust in big tech. We work with quite a few big tech brands, so just wondering what you think that these like brands can do to sort of regain the trust of people that are potentially leaving their platforms.
Are we specifically talking about Gen the idea that Gen Z is leaving social media? Yeah, that's an interesting case. Bigger social media platforms have lost the trust of the consumer in general because of one information, because of the mental health issues that come along with how these systems run. I mean, content runs on you having to post. Content runs on you having to content that's posted that's more negative gets more likes and comments. So I can understand why there are those who don't trust it, or those who are going away from it. What do we do to retain that? Well, obviously, you try to fix your algorithms the best you can. Again, AR has been one cool thing because that's proven to have a bigger ROI and have bigger engagement, because it's not as much of a of a of a of a the experience is not so one-dimensional, and you're seeing Gen Zs really take to that. People love the AR filters, so do we ramp up more AR filters just to make it more fun for people? Not sure. Do we build more AR experiences? I forgot his last name, I think Don Stevenson, but Don, who's an AR creator, who does some great things with the spectacles for AR, and those glasses, when you put them on, has a way for you to check in on what's your mental state. Here, play this real quick game because you're exercising. So to make, the technology bleed more into the real world, and not really make yourself so having to take so much out of you, to make the digital world realm work, but really using technology to augment reality, is a way to make it more quintessential for the human experience, and maybe people will then come back into it or want to come back into it more engaging and more adopting it into their lives in a more positive manner. So the technology probably still has a lot of ways to go before big brands can re-engage with full confidence, or that their users will have full confidence in them.
Great. And just actually one final thing on the talking about AR. So are you talking about sort of like augmented reality through a phone, or is there sort of new technology you think that needs to be adopted before more of this like AR can be, you know, more commonplace?
So I really think that AR is going to have a big year next year. This is from my, own personal insight, from my own personal business, traveling the U.S. in November to see all these really cool things coming out. I still think it's going to be predominantly through, the phone. We're not going to be leaving our phones anytime soon. So, but the technology has now become standardized. Niantic with, their Lightship, their augmented reality software developer kit, has made it a lot easier to make experiences. And a lot more people are adapting and adopting, adapting technology, adopting to building with it. And so, so you're seeing more robust experiences come through the phone itself. Perception is everything in the world, if we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. I think next year you're going to see a lot more cool things coming out with it through the phone.
Brilliant. To wrap up, here are three key takeaways from today's session. Firstly, the system skeptic is likely to be found opting out of existing financial systems and therefore drawn to new gaming and virtual ecosystems that support their own economy. Secondly, there's an opportunity to make blockchain technology and the world of NFTs more accessible and streamlined. There's a wealth of system skeptics out there who want to engage with new ideas, but don't know how to. And finally, the system skeptic is by nature difficult to gain the trust of. So when it comes to tech, make it quintessential for the human experience, help people to have fun, and overall be positive. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time when we'll be discussing a different mindset.
Thanks for listening. I hope this episode has helped you to understand a key mindset to watch out for in the coming year, be it the culture steward, the system skeptic, or the contrarian. You can check out the full Expert Outlook research report via our website at canvas8.com. See you next time.